This is WSIU in Focus. Later this month, we will celebrate Memorial Day on this bicentennial year. And right now, we'll sit down with a local historian to hear about the sacrifices made by many Southern Illinoisans during this dark period in our country's history. And the legacy of one man from Murfreesboro who was responsible for this holiday.
Used to be considered about 620,000 altogether, and now some people have kicked it up to 720,000.
That's Mike Jones, director of the General John A. Logan Museum in Murfreesboro. And those figures he mentioned, the total killed during the Civil War, of course, are from both sides.
Killed more Americans in the Civil War than they did in all of our other wars combined, because there was Americans on both sides.
And for quite some time, Jones has been poring over courthouse records, old newspapers, and online resources, trying to get a count of how many of those casualties came from the 18 counties of Southern Illinois.
I do know that when we counted, and we're working on a list of all the men who from the 18 counties who died, and we've come up, I bet we've added 600 new names that were not located.
And Jones says that during the Civil War, while the ratio of eligible men serving was just under 30% for the entire state of Illinois, the percentage of men serving from those 18 southernmost counties, also known as the U.S. 9th Congressional District, was much higher because of one man. Murfreesboro native and the son of a physician, John Blackjack Logan. And in 1858, when Logan was elected to represent Southern Illinois in the U.S. House, trouble was already brewing between the North and the South in the U.S. And even though Logan represented a northern state, he was not necessarily against slavery. Again, here is historian Mike Jones.
I don't think he considered slavery anything but legal and therefore all right. He saw no moral ramifications from slavery. You know, it wasn't a moral question. It was a legal question. It was a states' rights question. The states had the right to own a slave.
But Jones says what really bothered Logan much more than the issue of slavery was the chance that the young United States would dissolve and no longer be one unified country.
As a Jacksonian Democrat, it was his feeling that nothing was more important than saving the Union and keeping the Union together. So he basically chose country above party.
And the prospect of the country's breakup horrified Logan, and his passion erupted in August of 1861 in a speech he delivered in Marion, Illinois, a speech in which he made it very clear that he supports the Union and would fight for and with federal troops. And it was this speech by Logan which caught the attention of another legend and future president, Ulysses S. Grant.
In his autobiography, Grant mentions Logan's speech as having been so good and so pro-Union that his men would have stayed in the field as long as there was an enemy fighting against the country. Grant went out of his way to put that in there. He also said, and he was speaking of the 9th Congressional District, these 18 counties that Logan represented, he said those were the people that we worried most about being a hindrance to fighting the war. And in the end, they turned out more soldiers per capita than the rest of the state and many of the places in the nation. Illinois' average participation in the Union Army was 29%. And in the 9th Congressional District, the representation was 42%. 42% of Logan's constituents, men, were in the Civil War in the Union Army. And less than probably 50 went south from that district.
Logan made other speeches in Southern Illinois for the purpose of persuading others to support the Union side, but not everyone was on his side.
That speech went over well. The only time that we know that there was a threat on Logan's life was when he was getting ready to speak here in his hometown of Murfreesboro.
That is correct. That's the and it comes from an 1875 newspaper article from a man that was with him at the time.
But not even a death threat would stop Logan, and in the summer of 1861, he traded his congressman clothes for those of a Union officer.
When Logan was in Washington, D.C. in July of 61 for the closing of Congress, the last session of Congress, he asked Lincoln for permission to raise a regiment in southern Illinois. In August, he came back and raised his regiment, which was the 31st Illinois Infantry. And if you look, like Perry County was Company A, Marion was Company B, and you could see that all of these different southern Illinois communities. So it was the second regiment that was entirely made up of people from what they called Egypt back then. Then he was under the command of General Grant.
Logan did not shy away from battle. In less than a year, he was taken down by a bullet, but he did not die.
No, he didn't. He was shot through the shoulder, and then a round hit his pistol, and I believe a third round hit him, maybe in the leg. And there's some speculation that he lay on the battlefield overnight, but that he didn't bleed out because it was so cold. And there were other soldiers that this happened to also. And when he went to the medical service, when the medical services got him and they took him to Grant's boat, they wanted to amputate his arm.
But that was not to be, thanks to the efforts of Logan's loving and dedicated wife, Mary, who came down and persuaded the doctors not to take his arm. She took her husband back to Murfreesboro and nursed him back to health. But many did lose their lives in the Civil War, and not all were from enemy fire.
The 18 counties of the 9th Congressional District, which starts around Wabash and goes down to Alexander but excludes Randolph, put in a little over 13,000 men by 1863. Now, that's the last time I can get a specific figure on it. And about a quarter of those people died, a little bit more than a quarter of them died during the war, most from disease. But I don't think they'll ever know the true number of soldiers that were killed. And then when you think about the civilian deaths that are involved in the starvation and all the terrors of war.
After the war ended, along with much input from his wife, General Logan would come up with a National Day of Remembrance for those lost in the fight to save the Union. Originally, this day was called Decoration Day. We know it today as Memorial Day. And many scholars credit the first observance as being at Woodlawn Cemetery in Carbondale in 1866. And as we get closer to Memorial Day, stay tuned to WSIU Radio. We'll hear another story from scholar Mike Jones about the early life of this Southern Illinois hero, General John A. Logan. For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher. And Mike Jones of the General John A. Logan Museum in Murfreesboro wants to remind everybody about the big Memorial Day Sesquicentennial Barbecue and Civil War Band Concert. Takes place Monday, May 28th, starting at 1:30 in the afternoon at the General John A. Logan Museum, 1613 Edith Street in Murfreesboro. And then also don't forget on Monday, May 28th, at 10 o'clock in the morning, a Memorial Day ceremony at Carbondale's Woodlawn Cemetery, located at 405 East Main in Carbondale. Then at 12:30, a wreath-laying ceremony at the General John A. Logan statue, 2125 Spruce Street in Murfreesboro. And then at 2 o'clock at the museum, a book signing at the General John A. Logan Museum. And for more information about any of these activities, contact Mike Jones at director@loganmuseum.org.